should go ahead and man, I must be making noise. If you go ahead and take out your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 through 27, have that ready, and we'll get to that. So, So, some trials are expected, but still brutal. I mean, for the college student, it might be finals week. For the CPA, it's April 15th. For the allergy sufferer, it's ragweed season. For the family member of a terminal patient, it might be a long expected death. I mean, there are those moments in life that are just anticipated, but still difficult, even heartbreaking. And still further, there are the daily frustrations of life. I mean, from traffic jams to the stomach flu, from an irritable boss to a strong-willed preschooler, people and circumstances can rob us of peace. I mean, how do you react when life throws you a curve? I mean, what's your attitude when life tumbles in? You know, Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law." You know, the fruit of the Spirit is peace, and yet the storms of life often make peace an elusive quality. I mean, it certainly was for the disciples of Jesus. Now, in our text this morning, they discovered just how quickly peace can disappear. I mean, they were out in a boat on the Sea of Galilee when a storm of such magnitude came up, and they feared for their very lives. Now, this morning, we'll learn from their example that Jesus offers the only hope for true peace that we will ever receive. But remember, it's a fruit of the Spirit. It's a product of God's presence, and it's only possible through the power of Jesus Christ. Now, the story begins with an unexpected storm. See, the evening started calmly enough. After teaching the multitudes all day, Jesus suggested a trip across the lake for some peace and quiet. However, instead of peace and quiet, the disciples, their journey suddenly went from calm to chaos. Verse 23, it says in verse 23, "Then Jesus got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. Without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping." Now, the Sea of Galilee is notorious for ferocious, unannounced storms. I mean, located 600 feet below sea level, the cool air from the mountains around it often come blasting down across the water. Now, William Barclay explained in his commentary that the storms on the Sea of Galilee combine suddenness and violence in a unique way. And this was one of those times. I mean, the disciples, they couldn't very well listen to the weather channel before setting out. I mean, they didn't check the app, weather app on their phone. So they struck out from shore, unaware of the impending danger until it had suddenly completely surrounded them. Folks, the hard reality is that life can turn upside down suddenly and unexpectedly. I mean, have you seen the internet photograph that made its rounds, I don't know, a few years ago, which showed a great white shark leaping out of the water to attack a sailor who was dangling from a ladder of a hovering helicopter? Now, fortunately for the sailor, that picture was fake. I mean, according to National Geographic website, it's actually two photographs spliced together. There was a U.S. Air Force photo taken near the Golden Gate Bridge, and then there is another of a shark from South African coast. Now, despite the origin of the picture, however, whoever doctored those images created a hair-raising summary of how a lot of us feel at times. I mean, like we're hanging on for dear life and a man-eating monster is lunging into our direction. Folks, there is something very important I want you to notice in our text. See, Jesus, just because the disciples were with Jesus, doing exactly what he told them to do, which was cross the lake, they were still overcome by a life-threatening storm. I mean, that's important to realize. Because sometimes people believe that if you walk with God, life will always be smooth sailing. I mean, if you have enough faith, you're never going to get sick. You're never going to lose your job. You're always face pleasant circumstances. But that kind of theology is a slap in the face to the life of our Savior. I mean, God has one son without sin, but no son without sorrow. You see, Jesus knows what it feels like to be ignored, hated, misquoted, abused, put to death. I mean, do you remember the Jesus' parable of the wise man and the foolish builders? I mean, one man built on a rock foundation, the other built on the sand. Not long afterward, the rainy season began. And when the rain fell, it fell on both houses. When the storm raged, it beat against both houses. When the flood waters rose, it threatened both houses. I mean, the man who built wisely was not exempt from the storm, but his house stood because of the sure foundation. See, just because we're Christians, we're not exempt from car wrecks or malignancies or tornadoes or even termites. See, just because we're Christians, we're not exempt of that. You see, Jesus Christ doesn't promise exemption, but a sure foundation. See, we may begin the day in an ordinary way, not realizing that within seconds our lives will be changed forever. Maybe you had a teenager suddenly announce, "I have a drinking problem." Or your boss walks into your office and says, "Well, we're going to have some cutbacks, and you have the less seniority, so I'm sorry." I mean, we've all been there. Suffering is unavoidable. You know, I often heard the quote, A ship is safe in the harbor, but that's not what ships are made for. Well, the fact is, ships might be safer in the harbor, but they aren't always safe. I mean, even there. You know, I can tell you in two words which proves that. Pearl Harbor. See, unexpected storms come in into every life. Notice, secondly, an understandable fear. You know, there's a Peanuts comic strip. It showed Charlie Brown and Peppermint Patty leaning up against a tree talking. Now, Peppermint Patty asks, "What do you think security is, Chuck?" "Security? Security is sleeping in the back seat of the car when you're a little kid and you've been somewhere with your mom and dad and it's night and you're riding home in the car. You can sleep in the back seat. I mean, you don't have to worry about anything. Your mom and dad are in the front seat, and they do all the worrying. They take care of everything." Peppermint Patty smiles and says, "That's real neat." Suddenly, Charlie Brown's tone changes. But it doesn't last. Suddenly, you're grown up and it's all over. You're never going to sleep in the back seat again. Never. Absolutely never. And the last frame shows Peppermint Patty with a stricken look on her face, grabbing for Charlie Brown. "Hold my hand, Chuck." See, sometimes we don't feel very secure, do we? In fact, in our text, the disciples found themselves in grave danger. I mean, pick back up at the end of verse 24. Verse 24 says, "But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, 'Lord, save us. We're going to drown.'" See, Jesus' 12 companions did everything humanly possible to keep the boat afloat and to save their lives. I mean, they rowed, they bailed, they lowered the sails, but it was to no use. I mean, think of how violent this storm must have been for these seasoned fishermen to fear for their lives. Well, all of a sudden, it dawned on them that Jesus wasn't helping at all. I mean, he wasn't rowing, he wasn't bailing, he was sleeping. Now, I've slept through a lot of things. I mean, I slept through some pretty boring classes in high school and college. I slept through some boring movies. I slept through some boring sermons, and some of you probably have too. You know, Amy would tell you that I slept through a lot of night feedings when the kids were babies. But I guarantee you, I wouldn't have been sleeping during this storm. But that's what Jesus was doing. You see, he lived his life in such peace, such rhythm, with such faith, that when chaos came, he was prepared to face it calmly. Well, the disciples, they immediately woke him up. In fact, Mark tells us in his gospel that they demanded, "Hey, don't you care that we're about to drown?" I mean, have you ever felt that way? God, my life's a mess down here. Don't you care? I mean, my family's falling apart. I'm lonely and I'm depressed and I'm losing my mind. Does that mean anything to you? See, God understands those feelings. I mean, it's not wrong to cry out to him during times of fear and stress. I mean, who better to cry out to? But there's more to Christianity than having God as a life preserver. You see, a lot of people think surrendering to Christ in the first place is like buying insurance. They know they need it, but they buy it hoping that they'll never have to use it. And so they go through life figuring they won't bother God if he doesn't bother them. Then all of a sudden hell breaks loose and they wonder, where is God? Listen, Jesus wasn't asleep in the boat that day because of lack of concern. He was asleep because he hadn't been summoned yet. I mean, we need close contact with Jesus no matter what kind of circumstances we're facing. See, the disciples, they kind of pulled the old, when all else fails, pray routine. I mean, they fought with all their might first, then they turned to Jesus. See, prayer should not be the desperate SOS call. It should be consistent priority. Instead of waiting until the storm is raging full blast, we ought to be spending time with the Lord. I mean, rain or shine. Now, one good reason is because sometimes life is scary. You know, I had a dream that wore me out. I mean, it's plain wore me out. I don't know about you, but my dreams are usually short and really fragmented. But this one maintained this logical flow and felt like it lasted all night long. But I was visiting a couple in our church, and I found out the wife intended to kill her husband. I mean, she and a friend had the whole thing planned out. The poison to be used and everything. And in the dream, I was helpless to change their plans. Well, the husband, apparently, he figured out the plans, and he didn't really take the poison. He fled the house, heading towards a remote cabin, taking me with him. Now, I thought I was helping him escape until it slowly dawned on me that maybe he had actually murdered his wife and her friend in retaliation before we left the house. I mean, it occurred to me if that were the case, I was the only witness, and now we're alone together in a cabin in the middle of nowhere. I mean, I'm not making this up. I mean, I really dreamed this. But and as I was trying to figure out if the husband was a victim or actually a murderer, my alarm clock went off. Now, I hit the snooze hoping to pick up where I left off, but it was no use. I never found out what really happened, and but I was exhausted the whole next day. And no, I'm not going to tell you who it was. Now, that's a pretty far-fetched scenario, but the painful reality is that bad things happen in this world. I mean, scary things. I mean, the news has carried several chilling stories about child abductions. I mean, every parent's worst nightmare. I mean, the terror attacks that has been happening. I mean, the mass shootings. See, sometimes life is scary. And to casually act like serious threats are no big deal is both unwise and unrealistic. Now, let's take a look at how the Lord resolved the fears of his disciples when he provided an unbelievable rescue. See, we see in our text that Jesus dramatically calmed their storm. Look at verse 26. He replied, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and he rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. See, Jesus rebuked the storm, and it worked. I mean, suddenly everything was completely calm. I mean, in the blink of an eye, 20-foot breakers gave way to a sea of glass. One moment they could hardly hear the cry of their own voices. The next moment they could hear a pin drop. I mean, they moved instantly from total panic to perfect peace. I mean, the wind stopped blowing, the waves stopped breaking over the boat. Everything was completely calm. Ken Geyer, he wrote in his book, Moments with the Savior, "The disciples have seen Jesus give strength to lame legs, sight to the blind eyes, and health to the centurion servant. But they have never seen him do anything like this. It is the greatest unleashing of raw power they have ever witnessed." I mean, what kind of impact did that have? Look at verse 27. Verse 27 concludes, "The men were amazed and asked, 'What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him.'" Now again, Mark tells us in his account of this event that the disciples were terrified by what Jesus had done. I mean, it's interesting, their fear of the storm gave way to an even greater fear. I mean, this was no mere man they were following. I mean, not even a prophet. And as Ken Geyer concluded, what Jesus had done, what only God himself could do. You see, the disciples were suddenly overwhelmed with the realization that Jesus was the Son of God. Let me ask you this. Where do you go when you're afraid? Where do you go when you're afraid? I mean, remember the little boy who came running down stairs during the lightning storm and begged, "Mommy, Mommy, I'm scared. Please sleep with me tonight." His mom said, "No, honey, I can't do that. I have to sleep with Daddy tonight." With a quivering lip, the boy replied, "Well, that big sissy." See, where do you go when you're afraid? The disciples learned a valuable lesson that night on the Sea of Galilee. Because Jesus was and is the eternal Son of God, we can trust him to calm our storms. I mean, Jesus is the source of peace. The source of peace is Jesus. I mean, listen to Jesus' words in John 14:27. "Peace I leave you with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled. How does the world give peace? I mean, there's all kinds of advice. I mean, take this pill and relax. Drink this cocktail and forget. But this new mattress, buy this new mattress and sleep better than ever. Buy this exercise machine and feel better than ever. Go on this cruise and live better than ever. See, Jesus doesn't give peace like that. I mean, it's not a Band-Aid relief. He offers the real deal. He's the Prince of Peace, and he wants to calm the storms of your life. You know, early in her career, Christian recording artist Amy Grant, she experienced a time of personal crises. I mean, she appeared to have everything all together, but the personal and career pressures had become so great that she decided to flee to Europe, leaving her troubles behind. Now, Aspire magazine later interviewed Grant, and she explained that her older sister rescued the situation. She's just marched right up to me and said, "Fine, go to Europe. Leave it all behind. Start your life again. But before you go, you have to do one thing. You have to go to my little girl and tell her how you can sing that Jesus can help her through anything in her life, but that he couldn't help you." I want to offer you several lessons this morning as we try to understand how Jesus calms storms today. Understand first that worry is a sin, but fear is not. You see, fear is a natural response that that nearly everybody experiences when facing threatening situations. I mean, King David, he wrote in Psalms 56:3, he said, "When I am afraid, I will trust in you." Notice he didn't say, "If I become afraid," but "when." See, fear comes when danger is near, and that's totally understandable. However, worry comes when we conjure up the threatening situations in our own mind, when we stew and we fret about all the potential dangers that could happen, but probably won't. See, Jesus commands us not to worry because it takes our focus off of God's plan for our lives. It causes us to doubt the care of God. See, trust and worry, they cannot coexist. But the question is, what do we do with our fear? See, it should serve as a trigger to remind us to trust. You know, it's like a warning light on the dashboard of the car that says it's time to buy gas or change the oil or check the engine. I mean, we can ignore the light and face the consequences, or we can heed its warning and be a lot better off. See, when we become afraid, we can live in a constant state of panic, or we can allow the fear to remind us to turn to God. You know, on the now famous September 11th cellular phone call from Todd Beamer aboard United Airlines Flight 93, the conversation that he had with Lisa Jefferson, the air phone operator, as he describes conditions on the plane, at one point he cried out, "Oh Jesus, please help us." Then as the two of them recited the Lord's Prayer together over the phone, Lisa said that she could hear the screams in the background. I mean, passengers were crying out, "God help us, Jesus help us." And he did. See, he gave them the courage and strength to crash the plane in rural Pennsylvania rather than somewhere along Pennsylvania Avenue. You see, when we're afraid, the fear itself reminds us to turn to God for strength. Now, a second lesson is that God won't prevent troubles from coming. Now, that may not be very comforting, but it is the truth. I mean, folks, I'd rather tell you the hard truth than give you a false promises. See, Jesus said in John 16:33, "In me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world." See, Jesus makes a very important promise in that verse right there. And it's not what you might expect. He promised that we would have troubles. He said, "In this world, you will have trouble." Now, he also assured us that there's an opportunity for peace. He said, "In me, you may have peace." Now, notice the difference. You will have trouble. You may have peace. At some point, each one of us will face a storm that can only be handled with God's help. I mean, we must decide if the world's trouble or God's peace wins out. See, if you're not facing that pressure right now, don't feel left out. Your time will come. I mean, aren't you glad you get to come today to receive that word of encouragement? But it's true. I mean, don't go looking for trouble, but don't be shocked by it either. You see, number three adds, God can get us through any circumstance. See, the reality is we can handle whatever comes as long as we depend upon the Lord. You know, the Apostle Paul, he promised in 1 Corinthians 10:13, he said, "No temptation has seized you
sees you accept what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it.
See, as hard as life may be at times, you can survive any storm with Christ by your side. You know, I think it's interesting. The Hebrew word for peace is shalom. It means more than silence or absence of war. It literally means the possession of adequate resources. See, God's promised to give us what we need when we need it. And the fruit of the Spirit is peace. Now, number four is another one that is not easy to swallow, but it's true. Trials help us grow. I mean, that's not pleasant. It's not fun. It's not even, maybe not even be fair. See, in fact, sometimes the trials of life are too horrible to even comprehend. But this is not my ideal. It's God's. I mean, we're told in Romans 5, verses 2 through 4, it says, "We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character, and character produces hope." You know, I think Wayne Smith, he's one of the funniest people that I've known. I mean, he was the preacher at Southland Christian Church in Lexington, Kentucky. He was known as the comedian preacher. I mean, he passed away this last week. But he preached the funeral of his brother-in-law, Larry Johnson. Apparently, Larry had a lead foot on the highway. I mean, he was a good driver, but fast. Now, Wayne said he once rode with Larry from Lexington to Louisville for the National Quartet Convention. He said he sat in the front seat and was scared to death. I mean, at the funeral, he told about his trip down Interstate 64. He said, "I started praying for sales. I rededicated my life in Frankfurt. I felt a second work of grace in Shelbyville. And by the time that we arrived at Freedom Hall, I was speaking in tongues." Now, that is vintage Wayne Smith, his humor. But I can tell you, Wayne has also had his share of heartaches in his life. And he helped a lot of other people carry theirs. He also said that he laughs a lot because he cries a lot. See, Wayne maintained joy and peace because he trusted God. And he has allowed the trials of life to make him a better preacher and a better person. See, we can all learn and grow from trials. I mean, that's part of God's plan for us. Now, finally, number five, for the Christian, all troubles are temporary. You know, I love what it says in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 17 through 18. It says, our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary. But what is unseen is eternal. You know, the neighbor next door who's robbing you of peace, that stubborn health condition that has you aching for tranquility, that coworker who keeps you tied up in knots, that rebellious teenager who's wearing you out, that job that's driving you crazy, that illness the doctor says is terminal. You know what? None of it will last. It's all temporary. And if you belong to Christ, the joy of heaven will someday overshadow every hurt, every tear, every heartache of life. You know, it's like that old song says, just one glimpse of Him in glory will the toils of life repay. See, the disciples, they learned a valuable lesson in that boat 2,000 years ago. Jesus doesn't prevent the storms from coming, but He has power over them, and He promises to see us through them. You know, it was Augustine who said, "Thou hast made us for thyself, and our hearts are restless until they find rest in thee." See, the fruit of the Spirit is peace. Go ahead and put that last slide up. Let's pray with me. Father God, we come to You today knowing that You created us
and you gave his life. But also, you gave it, you loved us enough, you gave us Jesus. Die on the cross to cover our sins. And you, we know that you allow us to go through heartaches. You allow us to experience everything that we stand and sing with us. If you need to make a decision, please come along.